Good morning and praise the Lord. It has been a very eventful or interesting week for me as I was studying and preparing for this ministry and also for other ministries. I was very encouraged to see so many people around the world who are struggling and who have an ardent desire to understand what the Bible teaches about many things. I received 15 questions from a young man in Dubai through WhatsApp, and he wanted urgent answers in relation to New Testament church administration. Probably in his own assembly there may be some struggles, but he was very sincere, so one after the other, he was sending these questions and he wanted some clear, concrete answers. And he was telling me that because we do not study or hear messages that are systematically presented and consecutively taught, there is a lot of gap that has happened in our knowledge, even though many of us were born and brought up in assemblies. That was food for thought. Another very influential speaker in another denominational church, a high church, contacted me and wanted to meet with me to discuss matters related to world mission and what I have seen around the world. And also he had questions about ordination, commendation, and how do we do things. That was very interesting, and that was very educational for him, and it was a great opportunity for me to share with conviction what I have learned from the scriptures. Another brother writes from Kenya again and reminds me that there are three new assemblies which I have not visited in the southernmost part of Kenya. And it will be wonderful to go and meet the believers there and teach them systematically the doctrine of salvation and Christian life. What an encouragement, what a challenge, and what an uplifting experience that people around the world are in need. I'm in need, you are in need, we all are in need. And some of those needs are definitely created by the Lord. Some of our problems also are created by the Lord. And when God creates problems in our life, only He can solve it. When God creates problems in our life, or when God brings questions in our life, or when God brings trials in our life, no one else can solve it. Only He can do it. And we can approach Him through prayer and also through God's precious word. I would like to continue this morning what I have been sharing with you last Sunday about God's blessings or God's approval. Do we live to receive God's blessings in our life? Or do we live to receive God's approval? These are two different things. God's blessings are not necessarily His approval. Even unbelievers in the world are blessed by God tremendously. But it doesn't mean that God necessarily approves many of them. We looked at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ last week. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I have approved my Son. Not that I have blessed my Son. Of course He was blessed. But more than that, the Father's testimony about the Son has always been that I have approved Him. Not that I have blessed Him. Now this is personally a great challenge to me because all through our life, from our birth through our growth, all what we have heard is that we need to pray for God's blessings. We need to be blessed by the Lord. That is true. That is, there is nothing wrong in that. But at the same time, there is another tremendous truth, a truth that can revolutionize our life during this year. That is that more than the blessings of God, God wants us to be approved by Him. I have read this this story, not actually a story, probably something that happened, that a great computer firm, probably Microsoft, many years ago, they were planning for a new phase of development. And they wanted to get hold of some of the top business executives from around the world who can come and join them. So they interviewed many people, and finally, one person working for PepsiCo who had great experience in business was brought to their attention. And the computer firm contacted him and said, "We would like to hire you. What are your demands? We would meet that." And the negotiations were going on for a long time, but the PepsiCo executive, he did not make up his mind. Then one of the top managers or the CEO of the computer firm, it is said that, wrote to him that, "Sir, we don't have any more time to waste. I just want to remind you one more thing. This is the last opportunity. Do you want to sell sugar water the rest of your life, or do you want to come and join us to change the world?" And the PepsiCo man said, "I'm coming. I'm joining you to change the world." I think God's blessings are like the PepsiCo, you know, that we can spend the rest of our life in good things, can make a lot of profit, can accumulate a lot of blessings and be happy. But the next one, the next option, the next alternative is that we can change ourselves, we can change others, we can change the world. God's blessings or God's approval. Paul told Timothy that study to be approved unto God, the degree of AUG. Timothy, that is the most important thing in your life. Today, we would look at the life and character of a man who pleased God, who was approved by God. Shall we turn to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. In the long list of the heroes of faith, we read about Enoch. And something very, very special about Enoch in this passage. Hebrews 11, verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, during his lifetime, while he was alive, as he was active, as he was living every day of his life, during his lifetime, before he was taken, he had this testimony." What is that testimony? "That he pleased God." He was approved of God. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 5, we read about this Enoch. There, Moses writes about him that he walked with God 300 years. Then God took him and he was not found. He was not found means people definitely searched for him and they could not find him. And they could not come up with any explanation. So that is the version of the Genesis writer. But the Hebrew writer, he is using the Septuagint text, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. There, it is not written that he walked with God, but instead, he pleased God. The writer to the Hebrews heavily quotes from the Septuagint. That is his Bible. So, according to the Greek translation of the Old Testament, It is not that he walked with God. Actually, it is walking with God. But walking with God means it is being approved by God. That it is pleasing God. That he pleased God. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that it was a walk of faith. How did he please God? It was by walking with God in faith. Now, faith is always measured by what we do and not what we say. Enoch had faith. But how do we measure that faith? That faith is measured by what he did in his life. That is the message of the epistle of James. And that is what we read throughout the New Testament. That is, faith is not just a profession. Faith is not just receiving something. Faith is not just believing something. Faith is believing something, and as a result of that belief, there is concrete, visible, tangible, demonstrable, transformational action. And when that action is not there, that faith is not genuine. That is very clear. That is why there are so many people who claim in evangelical churches, in our own assemblies, in our own homes and families, that they have believed, that they know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. They might have attended a meeting, filled in a card, might have raised their hands, all those things. But their profession, if it cannot be demonstrated by action, that profession has no validity at all. Faith is measured always, without exception, by action. We are all men and women of faith, and our faith has to be measured, has to be proven, always by what we do in our life for the Lord and for his glory. That commitment, that walk with the Lord. Abel, by faith, he offered a sacrifice, the worship of faith. Enoch, the walk of faith, and then we read about Noah, the work of faith. Look at the order. That's a beautiful order. Christian life, once it is established, the first and foremost thing is the excitement of worship. That is why so many people in the world today are attracted to charismatic churches, because of the excitement of worship. Nobody likes dry worship anymore. Nobody likes dry singing anymore. Nobody likes lifeless worship anymore. Even our own children don't like it. You know, our own young generation don't like it. Not just being doctrinally sound, but there should be an excitement. There should be joy. I'm not talking about loudness or jumping up and down. But there should be life. There should be demonstrable life. There should be joy. There should be preparation. There should be hallelujahs. There should be an abundance of the excitement of joy of coming to life. That is why the writer to the Hebrews in the roll call of heroes, he begins with the most fundamental, the first and foremost foundational truth of life, worship. You tell me more about the worship of a church, I will tell more about the spiritual climate of that church. Because that is a wonderful truth throughout the Old Testament. The excitement, the joy, the involvement, the happiness, the preparation of worship. It has to be contagious. It has to be joyful. So the writer to the Hebrews, I like the order. He begins with the worship of faith, Abel. Then after worship, what comes? The walk, the daily life of faith. Then comes what? The work of faith, Noah, Abel, the worship of faith, Enoch, the walk of faith, and Noah, the work of faith. And then there are so many others also mentioned. So Abel walked with God. It was a walk of communion. That is how he pleased God. It was a walk of intimate fellowship. That is how he pleased God. It was a walk in the spirit, as we read in Galatians chapter 5. J.I. Packer translates or paraphrases it as keeping in step with the spirit. That is very beautiful. Keeping in step with the spirit. That is the walking in the spirit. In Galatians 5, again we read, walking in the spirit, led by the spirit, living by the spirit, fruit of the spirit, and then sowing in the spirit. It is a spirit-guided, spirit-immersed, spirit-controlled, spirit-guided life every day of our life. Now, how will I practically explain that? You know, we know the terminologies of the fullness of the spirit, the filling of the spirit, guided by the spirit, walking in the spirit. Probably a very simple way to explain that it is like, I would attempt to do it like this. Bringing God to bear upon everything in your life. That is walking in the spirit. That is walking with God. Bringing God to bear upon everything in your life. Whether it is your decisions in relation to your job or marriage or relationship or whatever it is. Bringing God into the picture to bear upon everything in your life. You consult God. You are so attached to Him that you consult Him daily for each and every decision. Every moment you are walking with Him. That is what Enoch did. And we read that he pleased with God. In Amos chapter 3 verse 3 we read, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So how do we walk with God? We have to be in agreement with God. We have to be in reconciliation with God. We have to be at peace with God. We should have a shared interest with God. We should have harmony with God. We should have the common goal, the same destination. We have to be in agreement with God. Are we in agreement with God in all areas of our life so that we can walk with Him? Are we in harmony with Him? Is His will and our will collide and clash? He was in agreement with God. Otherwise, it will be quite uncomfortable to walk with God. See, when we think about walking with someone, usually we walk with someone whom we like. You know, it's very difficult to walk with someone whom you don't like. A husband and wife walking together, you know, it is always, or two friends walking together. It is impossible to walk with somebody who don't really, whom you do not really like or love. So Enoch walked with God. It is a very, very loaded concept. He walked because of his faith in God. He walked in the spirit. He walked with somebody whom he liked. He walked in the spirit. He brought God to bear upon everything in his life. And that is how he received the testimony that he pleased God. Now, we give testimony about God all the time. You know, like we had testimony meetings. Some of us were able to share very encouraging testimony last week. And if we had more time, probably many more would have been able to share. It is our testimony about God. And that's wonderful. You know, growing up in India, in the Indian assemblies, there is a great emphasis on this. That is testimony meeting, monthly testimony meeting, you know, bi-monthly testimony meetings, yearly testimony meetings. So, but these testimony meetings are all our testimony about God, what God has done for us, and that is wonderful. But here, God is giving a testimony about about Enoch. So when we think about our testimony about God, we should also think about the other side of the coin, that what is God's testimony concerning Him, concerning us. He pleased God. He received a testimony, not from his parents, not from his buddies, not from his cousins, not from his friends, but from God. See, it is easy to have a testimony about my Christian life from my family, my children, my wife, my cousins, you know, from my friends and those who love and pray for me. That's all wonderful. But here we read that Enoch received the testimony from God that he pleased God. In the New Testament, we find another person, that is John the Baptist. He bore testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the testimony? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Messiah, the Son of God. That's a wonderful testimony. But the Lord Jesus Christ also shared words of testimony concerning John the Baptist. What did he say? Among those born of women, there is no one greater than this prophet, John. Then the Lord said he was the burning and shining lamb. He was approved by God. God bore testimony about his servant. God validated him. God approved him. And God verified him. That is the real testimony. The real testimony is not my testimony about God. Even though it can be uplifting and encouraging to me and to others, the most important testimony, dear brothers and sisters, is God's testimony concerning us. And what is the testimony of God concerning Enoch? That he pleased me. While he was alive, he pleased God, and he received that testimony in his own lifetime. He was approved in his life. And that is why the Lord gave that wonderful testimony. Do we live for God's approval or God's blessings? That's a very important question throughout the pages of the Bible. It's a hidden truth. And this can be applied not only personally, but also as an assembly. We are trying to be an assembly blessed by God, and that is very true. You know, I'm with you on that. That is our passion, that is our vision. We want to be blessed. But more than that, we should pray, and we should work, and we should develop our ministries in such a way that we should be approved by God. Sometimes even our assemblies have a temptation that we want to be in the good books of all the other brethren assemblies, you know, because we are under that umbrella. But more than that, what should be the most important thing for us? Whether others do it or not, whether others are for it or not, if others are not willing to change or not, we should not be wasting our time on that. We are an independent local assembly, standing and existing in relationship directly to the head of the church. And we are not under any denominational board. We don't have to conform to the norms of any other assembly in the world. We don't have to be in anybody's book. We don't have to be in anybody's conference list. We can be very different, and we need to be different so that we can be approved of God. Many assemblies will be approved of God if they are willing to be different. They are not approved of God because they want to conform to the standards and the norms of a dead denominational pattern in their worship, in their music, in their ministry, in the exercise of their spiritual gifts. This is a bondage which has destroyed many churches, and we need to come out of that. We need to be approved of God, not only in our personal life, but collectively. And we should pray for that. We should ask the Lord to help us in that. It was also a walk of conviction. Let me read verse 6. Enoch walked with God. There are so many. It is a loaded theological statement. And as a result, he was approved by God. If I walk with God, I will be approved by God. I will receive that testimony, and I, as a result, I will be blessed by God. It was also a walk of conviction. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to be approved of God, to please Him. Without faith, faith in what? For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that God exists, that God is real. My God is a living God. He exists. He is real. And He is not, God is not a she. God is a He. He is my Heavenly Father. His identity is clear. I can have an intimate relationship with Him in a personal way, in a loving way. Then we read the next part of verse 6. He who comes to God must believe that He is, He exists, He is there, He is real, and then He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He will reward you if you walk with Him, if you seek Him, if you look after His interest, if you sacrifice anything for Him, if you lose anything for Him, if you suffer a loss of anything for Him, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That understanding is a great conviction in the life of a believer. All those who have sacrificed many things for the Lord, I'm not necessarily talking about missionaries or evangelists, but all believers in every generation, those who have sacrificed their job, their money, their position, their time, the preference of their job schedule so that they can be on Sunday morning to worship the Lord. All those things, whatever sacrifices you do in diligently searching the Lord and seeking Him, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He will reward you for that. He is no man's debtor. You may be reluctant to make a decision in relation to your job, in relation to attending a meeting, in relation to giving, in relation to so many other things, because you think you will be a loser because you don't have conviction. Enoch had this tremendous conviction. My God is real. I can walk with Him. I can love Him. He loves me. He will take care of me. And when I seek Him, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He had that conviction. So it was a walk of conviction. It was a walk of faith. It was a walk in the Spirit. It was a walk with somebody whom He liked. It was a walk of conviction. And that walk was rewarded by that tremendous testimony. Finally, one more thing about this walk. And in this walk, he received the testimony that he was approved of God. In this walk, you will be walking out of step or against your culture. This is beautifully illustrated in the life of Enoch. You know, we read about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, in Hebrews 11, but there is another amazing passage about Enoch in the book of Jude. Shall we turn there in the book of Jude? In the book of Jude, we read about this Enoch. And what the writer is, what Jude is reminding us, that this man who walked with God, this man who pleased with God, in his walk, he not only walked with God, in that walk, he was out of step and against the world and against his culture. That is the reason that he received the testimony that he pleased God. Look at verse 14. Now, as we know, the epistle of Jude is talking about the apostates, the false religionists, and the false teachers and prophets, and about their condemnation and about their judgment, like 2 Peter. That is the whole theme of the book of Jude. And here we read in verse 14, Epistle of Jude, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, that is about our Enoch, in Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11 prophesied. This Enoch was a prophet. He was a witness. He was a preacher. He prophesied about these men, these apostates, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, verse 15, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly. What is Enoch's message? That is, the Lord is going to come with his angels or with his saints. The Lord will come back in glory. And when he comes back, he will judge you, all these apostates. Enoch preached that sermon in his time, in his culture, in the world in which we lived, because he was surrounded by the apostate world, which finally culminated in Noah's flood and God's judgment. But Enoch prophesied about the future judgment, the ultimate judgment, the final judgment, that the Lord is going to come to judge these people, to execute judgment on all, to convict. What was the primary theme of his message? He was a good homiletician. He had a theme, you know, and that theme is highlighted throughout his prophecy. What is the theme? Look at verse 15. To convict all who are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Four times this man, Enoch, prophesied. Four times he, in his message, he preached about the ungodliness of his generation. Enoch was a witness. He was a preacher. He lived in a corrupt age, in an ungodly world, filled with false religions, false spirituality, false teachers, false doctrines and teachers. And he preached against it. He walked against it. He was a preacher of judgment. It was not a popular message, but he took a stand. So walking with God is walking out of step with the world in which we are living. Now, Enoch was a very pious person. He was a very devoted person. He walked with God, but he was not simply sitting in the last pew in the church very quietly. Being a very quiet, humble, pious man, he voiced this message against the ungodly world. He yelled out, he bore witness, he took sides with God and his word. He was not simply a quiet person, wanted to be politically correct. He took a stand for God and his word. He yelled out, he proclaimed, he prophesied about what? About the ungodliness. See, in this epistle of Jude, look at verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. The ungodliness of that generation is again highlighted in that verse. And then in verse 15, in his sermon also, look at verse 18. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodliness. Ungodliness was the most important characteristic of the then age and the present age also. Not non-religious or unreligious, not unspiritual. People are interested in religious and spiritual things, but in an ungodly way. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Enoch walked against that. Why did Enoch please God and why was he approved by God? Because he was a godly man in an ungodly age. Being godly in an ungodly age. He did that by walking with God, by communing with God, by having a conviction about God, by walking in the Spirit, but by walking against the culture. Thereby, he received the approval from God. In verse 16, in verse 17 of the book of Jude, please look with me. How to withstand the ungodliness of the age. Verse 17, what is the remedy? What are the resources the Lord has given to us? What shall we do? We walk with God, and as we walk with God, Jude reminds us that like Enoch, we walk with God and witness to God, but we also should do more things practically. Verse 17, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't listen to false apostles and prophets. The true apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are clearly identified. Remember the words of the apostles. Learn your Bible. Understand your Bible. Apply your Bible. Walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a joy, what a glory he sheds on your way. Uphold the integrity of the truth of the word of God. Know the Bible, understand the Bible, love the Bible, practice the Bible, remember the words of the apostles. Then look at verse 20. But you, beloved, what shall you do? First you remember the words of the apostles, then you remain faithful. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, having a prayer life and building yourselves up in your most holy faith. How shall I paraphrase it? Remain faithful to your faith. Remember the word of God. That is how you withstand apostasy. That is how, like Enoch, you walk with God. In the age of apostasy, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, words of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is written down and inscripturated in the pages of the New Testament. Remember it, know it, understand it, apply it. High priority for the truth of God's word. Verse 20, remain faithful in your faith. Then verse 23, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, rescue through evangelism. Remember, remain, and rescue others from hellfire. That is the commission given to us. That is the commission given to us. Remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remain faithful to your faith. Don't abandon your faith. Build upon your faith. Be encouraged in your faith. Develop convictions in your faith. Witness to your faith. Know your faith. Voice your faith. Stand for your faith. Then rescue others with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Make sure that you are protected, that your garments are not defiled. As you go to the world to save people who are in the world, remember, remain, and rescue. As we walk with the Lord, that is what we are called to do. One more thing in verse 14. Why did Jude say Enoch the seventh from Adam? Why that is important? Because there is another Enoch in Genesis chapter 4. The son of Cain, the third from Adam. He was a wicked man. He built cities. He is founder of the world civilization that is against God. In his line came, through his descendants came rebellion, murder, polygamy. They built big cities and monuments, made a name for them. That is devil's Enoch, Cain's son Enoch. Jude is saying, make a note, the names are similar, but Enoch, the seventh from Adam. when if you say about Enoch, will you say that? Oh, it's seventh from Adam, who cares? No, you need to care, because there are two Enochs. There is God's Enoch and there is the devil's Enoch. There are God's engineers, there are devil's engineers. There are God's scientists and devil's scientists. There are God's businessmen and devil's businessmen. There are God's teachers and the devil's teachers. God's Enoch and the devil's Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Not the third from Adam. Forget it. He came under the judgment of God. This is the seventh through the line of Seth, not through the line of Cain. Take a note of him. Enoch in Adam's line. He came under the judgment of God. But our Enoch is in the Seth generation, seventh from Adam. God's Enoch, not the devil's Enoch. This Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he did not please men. If you please men, they will build cities for you. They will build monuments for you. Like Enoch, the third one, he built a city and the name was called by his own name, but he was judged by God. Dear brothers and sisters, the overall message which we considered last week and today is that God wants us to be approved unto him more than we to be blessed by him. And when we covet that, when we are passionate about being approved by God and order our lives and bring God into every area of our life to honor him and to love him, to remain faithful in our faith, to remember the word and to rescue others who are perishing, we will walk in step with the Holy Spirit and we will please our God, and thereby we will be approved by him. God's blessings or God's approval. AUG, approved unto God. Let that be the degree the Lord will grant to each one of us and honor us for his glory and for our blessing. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee for the amazing truths of thy holy word, both its doctrines and both its applicational and practical truths. We pray that we may be approved of God more than we are blessed of God. We considered about Enoch, the one who walked with God this morning. We pray that we may walk with our Lord daily in our life, walk of conviction, walk of obedience, walk of love, and walk of passion, and bringing God into every department of our life. Pray that these messages may revolutionize us. These messages may bring a new perspective to our life, not only personally, but to our assembly as a whole, that we may stand and we may be awakened during this year to be more approved of God than to be blessed of God. Pray that thou may make these words proclaimed in your name and for the honor and reputation of my Savior, that make it a blessing to thine own dear people here in Edmunds Lane and all those who may hear it in the days to come through the net. We pray that thou may take all glory unto thyself and help each one of us to walk with thee in the light of thy word. We thank thee for the sweet time of remembrance and worship and the opportunity to look into thy holy word and to study it. As we continue in thy presence in studying thy word, make it a more enjoyable and a blessed experience for each one of us, and bless us together for thy glory. And above all, pray that we may be found approved of God today and in the days to come. Unto this end, we commend and commit ourselves to you and pray this in our Savior's holy and precious name.